Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this next episode of Fitness with Feldman. And I know I am really excited for this episode. This week, Ashley is back and she is going to be talking to everybody about the all-important and often under-discussed topic of the female athlete triad. So she did a great Facebook Live on this a while ago and got really, really good feedback from everybody. And you can find that video up on our YouTube page, which I'll make sure we link to the show notes here. And as always, any questions, this is a pretty big topic. So anything you want to talk about, anything you want to hear more information about, please definitely feel free to reach out. We've been talking a lot about this since her video, and I think it's a really good topic and a good thing to be discussing more.
Today, I wanted to kind of present to you guys a little bit about something that I've been seeing a lot more of in the clinic, and it's definitely something that as parents, as coaches, and just as a general medical practitioner, physical therapist, athletic trainer, we really need to be a little bit more aware of. There used to be this kind of thought process, and I know that I heard it growing up, and I know that I heard it from some of my coaches, hey, you know what? You don't have your menstrual cycle as a female when you're an athlete. Okay. And that's something that some people, equate to, hey, you know what? I am in the best shape of my life. And I've lost weight, and it's just something that's totally normal. But guys, I want to tell you something. Losing your menstrual cycle as a female athlete, it's not normal. And it's not something that you should think of as, hey, I'm in optimal performance right now. Because unfortunately, it's not that way. This type of phenomenon when we're an athlete and we kind of, go through these changes in our bodies and, these cycles, it's actually something that has been termed as the female athlete triad. So, this is something I want to talk about because it's not okay. No menstrual cycle is not a sign of an elite athlete or optimal performance. I want to kind of give you guys some ways to find or kind of look for prevention strategies. Just want to educate everybody and let's create awareness of this. I have seen one too many young girls and even older, women, not necessarily old, but, premenopause in their early 40s. And as I said, I don't mean that as old. I consider 90 old nowadays. But it's something that it spans across our lifetime. And those who have this personality trait or those who really just are so concerned about their appearance, sometimes we fall into this rut. And this rut can unfortunately cause a lot of consequences in the future. Okay. So when we look at this female athlete triad, what are we looking at? We're looking at a disruption of our energy in our body. We're looking at a loss of our menstrual cycle. And then in turn, because of these things over a span of time, and it doesn't have to be a long span of time, we start losing our bone mineral density, which is very important for females because we all know as we get to a certain age and we approach menopause, we typically lose bone mineral density. And then that puts us at increased risk for different things. This lack of estrogen in our bodies can not only cause us to be at increased risk for, obviously fractures. And, you see a little old lady who falls, she fractures her hip really easily. But it also puts us at increased risk for things like cardiovascular disease, just because of the way that our bodies function. Okay, so if we kind of look at the three main factors that contribute to the female athlete triad, we're looking at low energy availability. As I said, we talk about energy availability, but it's low energy availability, the loss of the menstrual cycle or menstrual dysfunction, and then this bone density type of issue. So if I kind of go through and I look at, what is energy availability, okay? It's basically dietary energy, okay, and it's kind of what we're consuming. It's the energy that we need for physiologic function of the human body, okay? And when we look at that, we have to account for this energy not only before exercise, looking at our basal metabolic rate, but we also have to look at it as energy expenditure for exercise. So how much are we using when we exercise? And as we just sit idle, we do require calories. We burn calories as we just sit here and talk to each other on a daily basis, or as you're doing your work on a daily basis. So that's something that you always have to remember. And a lot of people don't necessarily take that into account, especially those athletes who are, you know, whether they're in college, whether they're in high school. A lot of them aren't necessarily having like an eating disorder, okay? But something as we've termed now disordered eating, where girls don't have a regular schedule to eat, you know, or even anybody in college doesn't have a regular schedule to eat. They're not taking in enough calories. They're concerned about body image. Those are all things that we have to look at when we look at this low energy availability, okay? Can it be due to an eating disorder? Absolutely. But you know what? Sometimes it's not. And that's kind of what we have to look at. It's sometimes you're just not consuming enough calories to actually run your body properly. And that's why we end up with this cyclic kind of nature of events where you're not intaking enough, or you're not having enough intake of, you know, food or calories. And then all of a sudden you start having this decrease in energy level. You start then having this decrease in performance. Sometimes you lose, as we've been talking about, your menstrual cycle, your period. And then sometimes after that, we run into the stress fracture, or, you know, this low bone mineral density type of problem. So when we look at kind of this low energy availability, I already talked about, it's not necessarily due to the eating disorder, but sometimes it's due to just training schedules and lifestyle. You know, when we look at how much somebody should be consuming, say you're a young girl, say somebody entering puberty, or even say you're a college athlete, or somebody who's working just, you know, this strenuous job, okay? If you're out there and after work, you're doing 10 to 20 hours of work, like additional exercise work per week, they recommend that you almost have 2,200 to 2,500 kilocalories. That's a lot of food as compared to a lot of people eat. If I observed myself eating in college, I would kind of say that I fall into this realm of, you know, I almost suffered from this female athlete triad. I definitely had low energy stores, and I know that I definitely wasn't consuming enough calories, and I definitely wasn't eating enough because I was in school and I was in class from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on a daily basis. I didn't like the food in the cafeteria. I didn't like the food in the dining commons. I liked to cook for myself, and I definitely wasn't bringing enough food to campus, especially when I was living off campus. It's very easy to fall into this. And that's where we kind of have to observe, you know, our young athletes and even ourselves. And, you know, as we get older, if you're trying to be this athlete and you want to run a marathon, you have to make sure you're training your body well. Okay. So when we look at energy availability, that's kind of what we're looking at. We're looking at to make sure you're intaking enough food to support your system as you go to try to run. Okay. And if you're not doing this, we have this cascade effect, as I already spoke about. Okay, so if we move to kind of the next point, and when we look at this female athlete triad, we've looked at this energy availability, we then look at this menstrual dysfunction. And when I say menstrual dysfunction, we kind of have to look at it in a kind of wider spectrum. This is one that when you're kind of approaching this subject, you have to look at the alternative diagnoses too. Obviously, as a physical therapist, I can talk to people about this. I'm not necessarily the person who's going to be diagnosing this female athlete triad, but I have a team. And, you know, I'm not the only I in this team, but there's a big group of people who we need to include to get somebody back to kind of saying, hey, you know what? I think that this is what's going on. So when we talk about this menstrual dysfunction, okay, it's a wide spectrum of disorders. But the most common one amongst people with this type of, you know, triad, as we're calling it, or these types of dysfunctions, is more or less the loss of our menstrual cycle, otherwise known as amenorrhea, okay? And this is kind of the loss of that, you know, that monthly cycle for 3 months or more. And you can have it in two different ways. You know, we can either distinguish this as a delayed onset of our menses, as we would call it, as our, you know, period cycle throughout the months. You know, so this would be that after somebody has developed their sexual kind of parts as a female, their breasts, you know, that they haven't had their menstrual cycle. So this can happen, you know, if we're looking at it, it's really, you know, 5 years after the development of these parts, or if they haven't had their menstrual cycle by the age of 15. Okay, so that's the primary type of amenorrhea. Okay, when we look at secondary amenorrhea, we're looking at People who have already had their menstrual cycle, but then they lose it. And this is where we kind of fall in, you know, with a lot of these athletes, is that they may have one or two menstrual cycles when they're younger, and then they lose it. Or they could have had a normal menstrual cycle, then they really get into working out, they want to run a marathon, they really want to get moving faster, and then we run into this kind of secondary amenorrhea where they're just losing their menstrual cycle completely. Okay, so the other thing we're looking at this is we have to rule out the secondary causes, through exams and blood work by a physician. So we can't just diagnose this, amenorrhea as something that's, just due to low caloric intake. We have to make sure there's not some other type of hormonal dysfunction or something else going on in the background. So that's something really to think about when we're looking at this. Okay. And if we have this, this type of phenomenon, this amenorrhea, we lose our menstrual cycle, we don't have menses per month, we then get into kind of looking at bone mineral density. And typically what we would observe in an athlete is we would observe a higher bone mineral density, because what has it shown? It's shown that doing things such as weightlifting, running, these high impact activities typically help us develop bone mineral density. But when you don't have adequate nutrition, when you don't have your normal cyclical cycle per month, being a female, you have a harder time developing bone mineral, or basically bone structure. Our bone mineral density will then decrease if we don't have these things. And it's really important to think about this, because then if we're training and training and training and we're not nourishing our bodies, if we're not necessarily taking care of ourselves the best we can, number one, obviously I've already talked about fatigue, but we're at risk for injury higher than anybody else. Okay. It's basically shown, I think it's a 2 to 5 times higher risk for individuals that have the female athlete triad, or at least aspects of it, for stress fractures. And that's because we're not able to, develop bone as well, heal as well. And just basically, our bodies aren't able to absorb force as well as somebody else. Okay. So when we're kind of looking at this, we want to say, well, can this really be me? Am I really having this issue? The thing is that it can happen over a spectrum. It can happen as a young athlete, somebody who's prepubescent, okay, entering kind of their puberty stage, where we start seeing this lack of energy, this over fatigue, or it can kind of happen as we kind of progress through our life. As I've already said, if you really go start training for a marathon or something like that, or say you're just really concerned about, your weight, and you're just cutting back your calories so much, something that we need to kind of observe. And we need to observe it especially throughout the lifespan, okay? So who do we really look at as having this type of dysfunction? It can be any athletic young girl, okay? It can be any woman, pre-menopause. Okay. I typically look at individuals who participate in sports that emphasize kind of the aesthetic nature or kind of leanness. So when we look at this, we look at dancing, we look at running, we look at gymnastics. And obviously there's other sports. We can do figure skating, low weight rowing, things of that sort. And even, your general softball, soccer player, we really have to kind of observe them too, because heck, we all know that girls and women are very, very intrigued by their, their body presence. And if it's not what somebody kind of thinks about a woman, okay, we all want to be lean, we all want to kind of look good. Some girls will really limit themselves because of that. And that's where we kind of run into these issues, okay? One of the big things I always kind of say to people is, a very lean toned body doesn't necessarily mean that that person is going to perform the best athletically. It doesn't mean better performance. That person may be malnourished. They may not be able to kind of tolerate the loads. Their tissues are probably not working as well as they should, solely because they don't have the ability to kind of sustain that, that need for energy over time because of their low energy stores. Okay. So if we kind of want to simplify the why does our body kind of go through this? Okay. So if we have a low energy availability, okay, we have an area in our brain called the hypothalamus. And when we look at the hypothalamus, it's basically a connector between our endocrine system and our nervous system. And if that hypothalamus senses a low energy crisis, it's basically going to start shutting things down. And one of the things it does is that it kind of depletes our estrogen stores as a female. So as we kind of think about this, when we think about women getting older and they go through menopause, what do we typically know happens? They lose their estrogen levels. Their estrogen levels deplete. That's kind of a similar thing that can happen if we go into this female athlete triad. Okay. And one thing I failed to mention is just because, you know, somebody's only presenting with one of these things, whether it's fatigue, or say they have low energy stores and they have low bone mineral density, but they're still getting their period, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're not in this kind of female athlete triad area. You can have one of the things and not necessarily all three. Okay. So going back to kind of where I was, the hypothalamus, what does it do? It helps with temperature regulation. It helps with hormonal regulation. It helps with sleep, emotions, and all of this. So if it senses this crisis, it definitely shuts down some of the things in our body, okay? And if that estrogen fails to be released into our body, okay, that's one of the big things that it kind of limits is this estrogen release. Then we go into this hypoestrogenic state, okay, which just means we don't have enough of the chemical in our body. Okay. And what happens is that our body goes into this kind of, you know what, I need to kind of, you know, just take it back. My bones aren't going to get as strong. It's not going to deposit as much calcium. And you know what, we just, as I've already said before, we lose the ability to tolerate stresses as much. And, you know, young girls that have 3 or 4 tibial stress fractures, or, you know, they end up with this, you know, high upper femur fracture. You know, the places where we're taking most stress, we kind of have to say, hey, you know what, why is this happening? Take a step back, look at it, and it very well could be because of this type of phenomenon, this triad, okay? So if we kind of look at what can happen, okay, if we go through and we look at a woman and she's been running and she's been moving and she feels great, but she says all of a sudden one day, you know what, my energy is starting to really deplete. I haven't had my period in 4 months. I don't necessarily know what's going on. I think it's just because I'm in really good shape and this is awesome. You know, some females get excited to not have their period because not for nothing, ladies, we know that it is kind of one of those times of the month where we all dread. We dread cramps. We dread all of this stuff. So some people actually find it a relief, but the thing is we can't look at it like that. So really what can happen if we lose this or go through this kind of cycle of this female athlete triad? Number one, we definitely can suffer the psychological consequences. So obviously we look at body image. We can go into depressive states. We can have low self-esteem, and even go into, you know, things and have anxiety attacks because of this type of stuff. It all has to do with the regulatory system of our body, that hypothalamus area, okay? Impaired muscle function, impaired immune function, those are huge, okay? Impaired bone growth, especially through our, you know, pubescent years. It's kind of shown that within the first 2 years afterwards, okay, of a young female having their period, they have a lot of bone mineral and kind of just, you know, bone growth through that time. And if we're having abnormal cycles throughout that kind of, you know, initiation of puberty, then these girls could be at risk for, you know, osteoporosis a lot sooner and these stress fracture injuries. You know, and obviously if they're not having enough bone deposited, they can have growth, impaired growth. And, you know, we can look at it and say, hey, you know what, like, why is this happening? Why has she not been growing? And then, you know, unfortunately, sometimes we look towards, you know, supplements, but parents really need to observe this, and as do coaches. Why is this happening? Why is this young girl not developing? Why is she not, you know, why is she not starting puberty? Stuff of that sort, okay? We can run into cardiac problems, cardiac arrhythmias, instabilities, pain, and obviously a big one that comes with nutritional deficits is anemia, okay? When we look at this as a performance standpoint, okay, decreased capacity for just doing anything, running, jumping, fatigue, impaired coordination. If we are not having this connect between our, you know, amino acids, our electrolytes in our system, and if our body's not functioning properly, we're going to have decreased reaction time, decreased coordination, increased risk for injuries, decreased risk for healing, or increased risk for impaired healing is what I meant to say. Decreased power. And you know what? These are huge. And if somebody's suffering from these, or say somebody's, you know, performance where whether they're a swimmer too, you know, whether their performance has all of a sudden gone from them swimming their best to swimming, you know, their worst, Why is this happening? Okay. And it very well could be that we haven't explored these aspects of the female athlete triad. So it's something really important to look at. And if you're seeing some of these symptoms in your child, athletes that you're working with, you know, it's really important to start asking the questions. So what questions do we ask? Okay. And this is where for some practitioners or for some parents, it might get a little bit odd, because who wants to sit there and talk to a young girl or even somebody who's entering their 40s about, hey, when was the last time you had your period? Hey, you know, have you felt upset lately? Are you worried about your body image? It's all these questions that are somewhat uncomfortable to ask, especially if it's a male provider to a female provider. So sometimes, yes, for me being a female provider to a female provider, it's easier just to make the connection, because I've been there. I've had these symptoms before. I've been an athlete. But you know what? It's extremely important to ask. And you can kind of go through and you can weed it out. Hey, you know what? Like, how much are you eating on a daily basis? You know, are you eating three meals? Are you eating, you know, are you kind of spreading out food throughout the day? Can you take a food diary for me? These are things that when I'm getting somebody back to running, I'm not only, you know, monitoring their acute chronic workload ratio, as John's talked about in some of his Facebook live posts, but I make it a point to say, are you having pain? How much are you sleeping? Because that's a huge thing. But make me a food diary. I want to know your caloric intake on a daily basis. And I'm not a nutritionist, so if somebody's suffering from this and kind of having issues with that nutritional deficits, I'm going to refer them out. That's not my job, but I want to make sure that I get them to the right people and get them to, you know, have a team behind them. Okay. And sometimes we even have to refer to the psychological aspect of this, because a lot of the times for females, we run into the psychological complications of body image. Because we all know what the tabloids expect us to look like. We all know what young females are looking like. You know, whether it's from even a makeup standpoint, young girls are wearing makeup earlier and earlier because they just think that is the norm. Okay. So it's something really important to look at. And as a physical therapist, how can we help? It's one of the biggest things to kind of think about. As a physical therapist, we're trained in kind of looking for signs and symptoms of stuff like this. Why is this young girl or why is this athlete having stress fractures? Okay. Is this young girl definitely having body image problems? How much are they training? We are trained in looking for load management. We are trained in kind of observing somebody's training strategies. We look at their rest and recovery time. And all of this is extremely important when it comes to returning an athlete to sport. There haven't necessarily been a great set of guidelines in returning somebody to sport with the female athlete triad. But the biggest things is to make sure that they are recovering well, okay? That they've upped their caloric intake, that they've definitely, whether they need it, that they've, you know, sought somebody to help them psychologically. The fact that, you know, you have to tone them down from activity, that's one of the biggest things. These athletes, they're like, well, I'm gonna keep running. And unfortunately, sometimes we have to say, no, we're gonna take you out of sport. And I know it's upsetting, but we're going to get you back, but we need to make sure that we do it the right way. Okay. You know, so if I were to kind of say, looking for the warning signs, what are some of the early warning signs that you could see with an athlete with this? Chronic dieting, body image problems, you know, dietary restrictions becomes a big one. You know, sometimes when somebody says, hey, you know what, I'm going to turn vegan or I'm going to turn vegetarian, you really have to monitor them there. Okay, compulsive exercising, fear of not being able to exercise, recurrent stress fractures. You know, I've had some patients come in with recurrent hip fractures, and some of it has to do with, you know, the sports that they've done, but also it's similar to what I was talking about before. A young athlete who swam her whole life or who has run her whole life comes to see me after, you know, recurrent stress fractures of her hip. And they started once she got to college. And what was happening, you know, are, you know, these females, they're restricting themselves so much caloric wise. They're exercising so much because they just want to keep their bodies in great shape. They do lose their menstrual cycle. But once again, for them, they're like, hey, you know what? It is what it is. It's not necessarily the worst thing in the world that I'm not getting my period. But what girls don't recognize and females don't recognize are the repercussions of this. Okay. You know, we need to look out for the perfectionist attitudes and the self-critical behaviors, because those are huge. they can tend to lean, you know, make an athlete kind of come towards this type of phenomenon where, you know, we really want to push ourselves so hard, we want to be the best we can, but then we run into kind of these things. And that's not what we want. So really, guys, I really wanted to kind of get some information out there about the female athlete triad. It's so important to kind of observe in our athletes and make sure that we're addressing it early, because if we're not addressing it early, then the prolonged complications in the long run could really end up just being detrimental to somebody's health. Okay. And I hope that I kind of gave you some information as to how myself as a physical therapist can kind of say, hey, you know what, like, I want to help you address this. Let's get you back to sport, but let's do it the right way. Let's look at your load management. Let's look at your dietary intake, and let's just look at you as a whole person. And let's get this team behind you to get you back on the field or to get you back running, to get you back to your sport the best you can. Okay. If you guys have any questions, please feel free to kind of just reach out. I'm obviously here to answer questions, but Justin and John are well versed on this too. It's something that we really want to kind of just address well. And you know what? You can always leave comments. I know that the videos are going to be posted, so if you want to share them, feel free to share them. But once again, you know, it's just all about kind of observation and also prevention of this type of thing. All right, guys, so I'm going to sign off. But as I said, if you have any questions, go ahead. Feel free to type them in the box, in the text box below. And I will sign on next week and give you guys some more information. I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet, but it's all up in the air. All right, have a great day, and I will see you next week.